Well, good morning. I mean, it's so good to see your smiling faces this morning, and good morning to those who are streaming with us as well. I want you to know that I really miss teaching or preaching, whatever it is I do to you, during the time that I was down with, okay, and then recovering from the recent illness. Last week, I thanked everyone who prayed for me and who did the work of the ministry for me while I was gone. However, I didn't thank the most important person in the whole process, and that's Serena. And here I go. Who selflessly, darn it, took care of me and cooked for me and made sure that I was taking the right vitamins and medications. And I don't know, without her, I really don't know where I'd be right now. So, thank you, Serena. Thank you, Serena, for loving me and putting up with me during a very difficult time. I wasn't always pleasant during that. I know that's hard to believe during that time, but you definitely have lived through what it means to stick with someone for better or for worse. Okay? Amen. So, why don't we stand together and make our Bible declaration this morning? And let's say it this morning like we believe it, okay? All right. Are you ready? No. Are you ready? Are you really ready? All right. Hold your Bible up in your right hand or your phone or whatever you use and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. I'm going to jump right into it today, and I really want you to grab a hold of what this is saying today. I think it's a now word. I think it's something that should help probably just about everybody here. But how many of you know that it seems like every time you make a declaration of faith, that is, when you make a statement that takes faith or a degree of believing God for something that you need, every time you do that, the enemy comes and does everything he can do to defeat that declaration. Come on. Amen. It seems like it happens every time. The enemy threatens your theology and he makes you doubt your declaration. There's no doubt. But I'm going to tell you something this morning that should encourage you, okay, no matter what you might be going through today. But first, let me ask you this. I want you to give me a show of hands, if you would, if you're going through something right now, okay? I'm talking relational, you know, maybe it's financial, maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's physical. And you're just plain tired, if you will, of going through the same thing again and again and again. One more time. That's right. Okay. Then please hear this statement, all right, because it's truth. God's love for you runs so deep, say so deep. It runs so deep that if you will take the time to seek his face, he will prepare you for things in your life that are destined to come and then see to it that you overcome. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. He's in it to see us overcome. And what I mean by that is, whatever it is that you are going to face as you live this life of faith that you and I are called to live, he will prepare you and he will empower you, and then he'll see you through. Amen. You should get excited about this today. The title of the message is Facing Tough Times, all right? Facing Tough Times. And if you would please turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Wave at me when you're there. Yeah, last book just before the maps, you know, the concordance. How many of you say concordance instead of concordance? Because I want you to know if you say concordance, you're wrong, okay? It's concordance. All right. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Contextually, right here, at the time that Jesus spoke these words to us, he was speaking to the church at Smyrna because they had been going through great persecution, and they were heading in for a whole lot more persecution. And Jesus was preparing them, if you will, for what was to come so that they would be ready and equipped for what was about to happen. And I want you to know something today, because he is no respecter of persons or time. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. Come on. Because he is no respecter of persons or of time, because the Bible tells us this, and he is the Lord God, and he changeth not. That was a little bit of King James thrown in for you there, Trudy. Changeth not. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God treats you and I, now hear me, please, God treats you and I the same way today as he treated the church at Smyrna way back then. In this particular case, he was warning them that some of them were going to be put in prison and tried. Put in prison and tried. Gary, why don't you come up and pray, if you would, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here today, God, to learn. Father, to learn more of your word, God, to learn more of what we need to do in these days. God, as Pastor West preaches today, Lord, I thank you that he will preach with all the power and authority that you provide, God, and that you've put in your word. Father, help us to be hearers of your word today, God. I pray that we would be just listeners, God, hearers, God, and then we could go out and be doers. God, you want your church to be doers. Father, have your way in each one of us today. God, have your way in Pastor West today. Lord, give him the words that you want him to speak. And God, just bring excitement to him in Jesus' name. The church says, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Let's read Revelation 2:10 again, okay? It says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. How many of you know that being thrown into prison would be a horrible and a harrowing experience? I think about that sometime. I watched a movie called An Innocent Man where Tom Selleck was thrown in prison, and he didn't do anything wrong. And it's been this kind of a underlying fear of mine that could happen to me. So I kind of know what they're saying here. And those of you who have been in jail or been in prison know what that's like. But to be thrown into prison, it would be horrible. I mean, whether you were guilty of a crime or whether you weren't guilty of a crime. But to be thrown into a Roman prison, it was worse than all that. It was more than horrid to prospect and to think about. The Romans knew what to do, okay, to get you to either talk or get you to suffer, all right? They were masters at torture. And to be in a Roman prison was terrible. So it was with great love that Jesus told the church at Smyrna that the devil was going to use this experience to test the commitment and steadfastness of their faith. I want you to notice something here as we get started. That it was the devil. Say it was the devil. Come on, say it like you believe it. It was the devil. Yeah, it was the devil that was going to use this testing. It wasn't God who was going to use this testing. It was the devil. And I'm pointing this out because sometimes Christians get this wrong view of God and who he really is. Remember in James 1:17, it says the following. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In a nutshell, it's this. What's good comes from God. Amen? What's good comes from God. So I'm sorry. God doesn't employ the use of diseases. Come on. He doesn't cause sorrow. He doesn't employ sicknesses to tempt or to get our attention. He doesn't do that. A little earlier in James chapter 1, the Bible addresses the root of temptation as well. It says this, let no man say, sorry, I'm reading New King James, but I'm quoting King James. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Why? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, period. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires or lust, depending on what the version you're reading, and is enticed. The word tempted in this verse and the word test in Revelation 2:10 are translated from the same Greek word, okay? The Greek word parazo. Well, why is that important? It's important because it tells us that this test was the same as a temptation from the enemy. Are you hearing me? In fact, the word parazo actually describes a calculated test that is deliberately designed to expose your deficiencies. Let me tell you something this morning, and I want you to get this so bad. It isn't God who exposes your deficiencies. It's the devil who exposes your deficiencies. It's God who helps you discover and defeat your deficiencies. Amen? Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Good. Good. It's God who helps you discover, okay, and defeat your deficiencies. So by using this word, Jesus made it very clear that the hardships that these Christians would be facing was intended to tempt or test them to see if their faith was genuine. Just like when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4, 1 through 11 and Luke 4, 1 through 13, and I think you're probably familiar with those scriptures, the enemy was now preparing to tempt or test, if you will, these believers with persecutions that were beyond anything, way beyond anything that they had ever experienced or endured. Remember last week we talked about the enemy and his strategies, amen? And how his attacks are well-planned-out strategies. Not fly-by-night thoughts, but well-planned-out strategies. How many of you know this morning, the devil knows what it's going to take you down? Hello. Amen. And his well-planned-out strategy was this. He was going to make sure that some of them would be thrown into prison. And even today, Satan's well-planned-out strategies that he uses in your life and in my life are designed to defeat you and ultimately to throw you into a prison. Amen? Ultimately, he wants to see you in a place where you're ineffective. He wants to see you in a place where you can't do anything, where you're locked away. Sin will do that to you. Amen? Sin will do that to you. And even today, he uses those things. Whether it's a prison of addiction, come on. You know, we're all Christians here, but you know what? I would bet you anything that there's a number of people here that are addicted to something. When I say addiction, I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol. Come on, I'm not just talking about smoking. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about being addicted to gossiping. I'm talking about being addicted to food. I'm talking about being addicted to spending too much money. Amen? There's got to be people in this room that are struggling with addiction. Or maybe it's a prison of emotional bondage. Or a prison of, and hear this, please, poor finances. Or even a prison that's physical. It's no different now than it was then. And the devil wants to see God's people imprisoned. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Now back to what I said at the beginning of the message. The truth is, and I think most of us realize this, that both scripture and experience confirms that when you make a declaration of faith, which shows the genuineness of your faith, that declaration of faith will often trigger a devilish attack. Come on. How many times have you done it? Oh, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. Boy, he comes against that with everything he has. And the purpose of that attack now, as it was then, is to test the genuineness, if you will, of our faith, and then he wants to throw us into prison, as I already mentioned. I don't think, sometimes we don't let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? And because we don't let Scripture interpret Scripture, it's hard to understand some of this. And that's what I want you to hear, what I want you to see today, okay? How something that's said in Revelation connects directly with something that's said in John, all right? But Jesus had more to say about what was to come, all right? And I'm going to read it again. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The word tribulation reveals how intense these times of testing would be for these people. It's translated from the Greek word thlipsis. And that's right, say it with me, thlipsis. And the word thlipsis conveys the idea of a burden that is crushing, debilitating, or overpowering. But most often this word is used in connection with displays of extreme hostility or even torture, if you will. Jesus used this word to forecast times of distress or oppression or pressure and stress. And the word tribulation may be understood as a clarification of the word test, all right, in that same scripture. So the tests that the church of Smyrna was about to go through would be crushing, debilitating, and overpowering, resulting in great distress, oppression, pressure, and stress. But the Bible says this for you and I. The Bible says this in John 16:33, that Jesus has overcome the world. Glory be to God. You ought to get excited this morning. In the world, you will have tribulation. You hear this all the time. It says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. I mean, isn't it good news to know that Jesus has overcome the world? Isn't it good news to know that you're a joint heir with Jesus? Isn't it a good thing to know that no matter what comes at you or whenever it comes at you, it's already been taken care of? Whatever, say whatever. Whatever you are going through right now, today, all right, sitting in this church or watching on this camera, Jesus has the key to overcome what you're going through. Jesus assures us, and I'm going to tell you again, in this world, in the world, you will have tribulation. In other words, in the world, we are going to face demonic tests and trials and tribulation. It's not going to be easy, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, think about that statement just for a minute. Be of good cheer. When you're going through tribulation, when you're having hard times, when you're facing demonic tests and trials and tribulation, be of good cheer. Say, be of good cheer. Regardless of the test, regardless of the trial that you might face, no matter what it might be in the days to come, and he's speaking to you right here this morning in Central Family Worship Center, Jesus declares that our correct position of faith is to worry, right? No. He says our correct position of faith should be to be of good cheer, because he has already overcome anything, that the world could throw at us. You might say, but Pastor Wes, you don't understand what it is that I'm facing right now. You just don't know. You don't know what it's like, and you don't know what they said to me. And you don't know how it feels. But what does John 16:33 say? Be of good cheer. No matter what it is, yes, in everything, including the most difficult moments of your life. And I don't know about you, but I have noticed that I had some of the most difficult moments of my life since I've been a Christian. Amen? Because I believe with all my heart that I have an enemy now who fights against me instead of supports me. Hello? Amen. Amen. Be of good cheer. And to drive the point home, Jesus uses this word tribulation. In Greek, once again, it's the word thlipsis, all right? A word that describes, again, distress, affliction, or trouble that is very, very intense. And Jesus declared that he had overcome all of these tribulations or tests or temptations. So by using this word, Jesus recognized the fact that there will be times when it wouldn't always be easy for those who chose to follow him. Amen? And that's what I just said. It isn't always easy to take the path to follow Jesus. Amen? How many of you have noticed that sometimes it's hard to follow that path? Sometimes not only your flesh wants you to follow a different path, but people want you to follow a different path. And for some reason, there's this thing inside of us that wants to please people. And so we're drawn away. But But Jesus understood that. But regardless of what the world or the devil tries to throw at you and me, the Bible declares then for them and still declares today for us, okay, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world, period. I want you to get a hold of this. The words good cheer come from the Greek word tharseo, okay? A more accurate rendering of the word tharseo would be to take heart, okay? So he's saying, be of good cheer, or take heart. It also conveys the idea of being courageous. It's a word that is spoken to strengthen someone who's facing a hardship or a difficult time or a trial. If you translate the verse more literally, okay, Jesus said this, in this world, you will go through some distressing times, hard times, temptations and tests and trials, but take heart and be courageous because I have already conquered whatever it is that's attacking you. Amen? Amen. And this is just good stuff, people. Now, the word overcome, all right, comes from the Greek word Nikos, all right? Actually, that's where they got Nike shoes. Just so you can say you learned something today, now you can know what Nike means, and I'll tell you in just a minute. It comes from the Greek word, anyway, overcome comes from that Greek word Nikos, which can be translated to overcome, but it's also the word for victory, okay? And now please hear this. The grammar that's used in this verse doesn't simply imply just one victory, all right? It denotes a continuous abiding victories both now and in the future. They start now, they end never. Amen? So the idea Jesus presented in this statement, considering the grammar that he used, could be interpreted like this. Get ready to get excited, okay? I have overcome the world, I am overcoming the world, and I will always be overcoming the world. It starts now, it never ends. So even if it seems, okay, even if it seems like the entire demonic realm is trying to take you out, you can hold on to the promise that says Jesus has overcome the world, he is overcoming the world, and he is always going to overcome the world. Nothing has changed. Glory be to God. And that means, and I mentioned this earlier, but that means because you're a joint heir with Jesus, you overcome too. Come on. You ought to get excited about that. Whatever you are going through today that's taking you down and making you feel so terrible has been taken care of by Jesus already, and because it has been, it's going to be by you too. Amen. Glory to God. So that takes the devil's attacks and makes them seem so much less hurtful, if you will, because there's always an end. So instead of letting the devil discourage you with thoughts that say things like this, there's no hope, you can't do it, you can't overcome the struggles that are attacking you from every side, why don't we just lay hold of the truth, okay? There is so much and so much to be said for laying hold of a scripture and standing on it, amen? Finding a scripture in the Word that relates to your situation, and then you stand on that scripture, you pray that scripture, you believe that scripture, you make a declaration of faith on that scripture. But we have to lay hold of the truth and declare that Jesus is with us, amen? And Jesus has overcome, and he will continue to overcome the world. One more thought, and then I'll let you go. See, I didn't preach for a long time, okay? So I got quite a few one more thoughts. Jesus knew that Satan was about to unleash a horrendous onslaught against these believers in Smyrna, okay? Basically, he was going to attack their faith. I'm going to read it one more time to you. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus knew, of course, because he's God, but Jesus knew that the intense and imminent bombardment that was destined to come would seem like it was unending. In other words, it would seem to go on forever and ever, like there wasn't any end in sight. do any of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You're going through something, maybe you're addicted to something, maybe whatever it is, but man, it's just going on and on and on, and you would have thought by now you would have had that dealt with, but you're still dealing with it. Anybody? Okay. It's really no different with us than the people from Smyrna. I didn't know whether to call them Smyrnians, so I just stuck with Smyrna. When you and I are going through tribulations or problems and challenges, it does. It seems like they're going to last forever. It seems like, you know, whether even if it's only been a few days, it seems like an eternity, all right, with no end in sight. Like, this is always going to be an issue in my life. But Jesus said, he made this small statement. It never made much sense to me until you apply it to us today. You will have tribulation 10 days. 10 days. The word, or the phrase 10 days, was meant to give encouragement and hope to a suffering church, all right? And let the believers know that their hardships wouldn't last forever. Theologian Albert Barnes noted that the reference to 10 days in this scripture refers to a short time, a brief time, or just a few days. Bible scholar Henry Alford suggested this. He said, the expression is probably used to signify a short and limited time. So it was just, Jesus wasn't saying that it's going to be 10 days and only 10 days. The idea was it's not going to be forever. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but hard times and difficult times and downright terrible times are inescapable in this life, Christian or non-Christian. But God's power always has, come on, God's power always has and always will have the ability to sustain those who put their faith in him. Amen? But what does the devil try to do? He tries to get you to take your faith away from him. Believe in experience, believe in whatever, or what you've heard, what you've read, but don't believe in God. But hard times are going to come. They're going to come. But hear me this morning. Even if the fires of adversity have been literally raging against you lately, do you know what I mean? Have you ever been in a place in your life where it just seems like, all right, all hell breaks loose? And I'm serious. All hell is broken loose against you. But even if they're literally raging against you lately, and it seems as if they will never come to an end, all those trials, Jesus assures us, will quickly come to an end. If you'll keep your ear tuned to him, okay, he will be faithful by his Spirit to prepare you for the times to come, and he does. And then he will empower you to walk through every single situation as more than a conqueror in him. And this is a word for somebody here today, and I really believe this. Your time of tribulation, your time of temptation, or this trial, or whatever it is, will come to an end. It will not last forever. And even though it feels like it today, you are going to be able to be of good cheer, understanding that eventually it's going to be done. Not in a long time. Jesus said in 10 days, a short period of time. So I don't know who you are today, and I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know if you're going through a relational thing, an addiction thing. I don't know. Maybe your problem is in your finances. Maybe your problem is that you can't get along with your mother-in-law or father-in-law or whatever it might be. But the thing I want to encourage you with from this message today is that when Jesus said 10 days, he's encouraging you and I that in a short period of time, what you are going through is going to be over. Amen? Amen. And if you'll keep your ear turned to him and tuned to him, you'll become more than a conqueror through him that loves you. So you need to say this with me, or after me, be of good cheer. Say, I'm going to be of good cheer. Amen. And why don't you bow your head?